Why don't we lift our hands one more time? The Lord is truly in this house tonight. Thankful for this moment of prayer that we had. I believe it's in alignment with what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I believe God's going to meet some needs for us tonight. But why don't we just take a moment to spend just for a few more moments in the presence of the Lord. Why don't we prepare our hearts for the remainder of this service for the Word. God's going to heal tonight. God's going to deliver tonight. God's going to restore some broken situations. God's going to perform a work in our families, in our marriages. If you believe that, why don't you just lift up your hands right now and declare it. Say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that you're going to do all things. I believe that you're going to do a mighty work for me. Come on, man might not be able to perform the work, but God said, I can perform the work. The doctor might not be able to perform the work, but God said, I can perform the work. The therapist might not be able to perform the work, but God said, I can perform the work. Amen. If you believe that, why don't you just clap your hands one more time? Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. What a beautiful presence of the Lord that's in this place tonight. Why don't you just turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, I'm happy that you're here. Amen. It's so good to see your wonderful faces again. And what a tremendous time we had in the presence of the Lord last night. Amen. How many of us were blessed by what God did? Amen. I know that I was. And I know it's already been said tonight, but I believe that God has more for us. Amen. There is depth to God's presence, depth to God's Spirit. And one thing that I have learned in my short 26 years of living is that every time you think you've experienced God in the fullness of His glory, or in the greatest way that you possibly could, you always find that you are wrong. Because there is no limitation to God. There's so many levels, so many depths to God's Spirit. And if you would allow Him, I believe that God wants to continue to take us deeper and further over these next couple nights. And I was thinking, I know there's some people that are not here, that have been here the last few days, but you are here. And that is what matters. God knew who was going to be here before we ever stepped foot, before this week ever began. And, you know, there's a power in just being present. There's a power in just showing up. That's the first step of receiving what you need from God. You've got to show up. If you're not there, you can't receive what you need from God. So I just want to congratulate you and say that step one has been complete. You are here tonight, which means you are in prime position to receive what you need from the Lord. Amen. Man, why don't we direct our attention to the book of Proverbs 18. Give honor once again to Brother Greeley and his family, Brother Dyke, and the rest of the leadership. I give honor to everyone that is here. Such a tremendous honor to be with you all. What a great church this is. And I was talking to one of my good friends, my best friend actually, and he's the youth pastor back home. He was just asking me about the week and how everything was going. And I told him, this church, I said, bro, I said, this church is going to see God do great things. And I said, the reason for that is because you're doing a lot of stuff that a lot of churches aren't willing to do. Can I just be honest with you? There's not many churches that are doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night services anymore in the country, in the world. I don't remember ever even last time I was a part of something like this. But because of things like this, because your leadership has a burden and a vision to see revival, God is going to honor you for that. Amen. If you believe that, why don't you just clap your hands? Amen. Songs are being sang and words were spoken, and I feel like I'm right in the vein of the Spirit tonight. Proverbs 18:21, simple verse of Scripture. The Bible says this, that death and life, somebody say death and life, are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is power and what we speak. For just a few moments, I want to talk to us tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost on this topic, the power of a word. Why don't we just put our Bibles aside, lift our hands. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your presence that's in this house. I pray, God, that you would do a mighty work in this place tonight. Lord, that you would confirm your word with signs following. Lord, that you would put aside all distraction, all weariness, all tiredness, and focus in on you for these next few moments. God, I pray that faith would begin to arise and increase in this room. Lord, knowing that you're going to do a mighty work before we leave this house tonight. Anoint my lips of clay, anoint my mind, and anoint the air of every listener in this room tonight. Lord, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Why don't we clap our hands as we're seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The power of a word. Death and life are certainly in the power of the tongue. I was thinking about this as we were singing. A little quick autobiography about myself. I grew up playing sports. I'm a big baseball guy. I was a baseball player all throughout my younger years. I think the first time I started playing baseball on a team, I was about 6 or 7. Played all the way up till I was 19. Varsity baseball all 4 years of high school. And I remember growing up, I probably wouldn't give him this much credit, but my dad taught me everything I know about baseball. He taught me how to catch, how to hit, how to throw, how to field. All of that good stuff my dad taught me how to do. But I remember growing up, and this was something that my dad would say to me often, maybe when I was just learning something new about the game or even just life in general, maybe a new sport or whatever it is, and I'd be struggling to do it. I'm 10 years old or 12 or whatever it is, and I'm struggling to do this task or accomplish this thing, and I would say, I can't do it. Oh, man. It would get him going, and he would get fired up, and he would look at me in my face and say, never say that you can't. And I'd be like, okay. And he would say, as soon as you say you can't, you can't. He said, Joseph, as soon as you tell yourself you can't do something, that's the moment that you can no longer do it. And I'm thankful for that. As I'm sitting there thinking about that, I'm thankful for that lesson in my life because it taught me a principle that there is power in our words. There is power in what we speak. We have a choice every day of our life to either choose to speak positively or negatively concerning situations. We can either say that we can or we can't. We will or we won't. God can or God can't. We have a choice every day of our life. And as we read this scripture, it's a simple proverb, but there is so much truth and so much wisdom that we find in these simple and short words that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I don't think this is just talking about physical death and life, but also a spiritual death and life. That death and life are attached to our tongue. That we have a choice to speak either death or life. Our words have either destructive power or creative power to them. As I look in Scripture, we can see where the words of certain men or certain individuals in Scripture brought about death. We read in the book of Exodus, as they're journeying, or in the book of Numbers, as the Israelites are journeying from the place of Egypt and they're released from bondage and they cross the Red Sea and here they are going through the wilderness and now they're at the gate of the promise. And we find that Moses and the leadership sends 12 spies into the land. We know the story, and 10 spies come back and they say, well, there's giants in the land. And here they are. They're speaking a negative report. They're speaking that they can't. We can't possess the land. We can't do this. We can't do that. The task is impossible. The task is something that we just can't overcome. And as they're speaking these things, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel began to feel fearful. And fear began to rise up amongst the people. Why? Because of the words of the 10 spies. And as they began to speak these words of fear, it began to attach to those around them. And not only was the fear now part of their life, but now it began to grab a hold of those that were around them. C- Can I just tell you and just take a pit stop today and say that your words are not just going to affect you, but it will affect those that are around you. If you are constantly speaking doubt and constantly speaking fear and constantly speaking can't, then it will begin to rub off on those around you. And we see here that as they began to speak fear and as they began to speak hopelessness and helplessness and began to speak and say, well, this is just an impossible task, they began to convince the multitude, millions. There was more than a million Israelites. They convinced the entire group that this was not something that could be done. And not only did it create fear in them, but ultimately it became their death sentence. Because fear began to cause them to speak out. And fear began to cause them to speak doubt. And fear began to cause them to murmur and complain and say this and say that. And God said, you know what? Fine. If this is how it's going to be, I'm going to cause you to wander in this wilderness for 40 years until your entire generation dies. Can I tell you that it was just 10 people that caused the death of hundreds of thousands? Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. There are more souls that are attached to your words than you might think. There are more souls that are attached to what you speak than you might think. Come on, you speak life or death for your children, for your marriage, for your family, for your friends, for your co-workers. You've got to make a choice. Am I going to speak life or am I going to speak death? Come on, as for me, I chose a long time ago that I'm not going to speak fear, that I'm not going to speak doubt, but I'm going to speak faith, I'm going to speak hope, I'm going to speak a way out for those that are trapped, I'm going to speak healing for those that are sick, I'm going to speak deliverance for those that are bound. Why? Because I serve a God who can do all things. And that's why I'm thankful for what we did. I felt like what God put on your heart was in alignment for this word tonight. That we were lining up and you were lining up in faith. Saying, you know what? I'm stepping out knowing that this prayer can change things. Why? Because there's power in what we speak. There's power in prayer. There's power when we open up our mouths and begin to declare the word of the Lord. There's power when we begin to open up our mouths and declare healing, declare deliverance, declare salvation, declare peace, declare restoration. When we open up our mouth and because, oh my God, there is power when we speak a word of faith. There is power when we open up our mouth and say, thus saith the Lord, you will be healed, you will be saved, you will be free. Come on, if you believe that, clap your hands. But just as we see in Scripture, individuals talking, speaking words of death and speaking words of fear and hopelessness and helplessness, we also see words and stories and individuals that speak words of life. We find in the very beginning of Scripture that God shows us that through creation there is life-giving power and there is creative power that is found in the spoken word of God. Genesis 1 tells us this, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God began to move, but nothing happened. I want you to understand that the Spirit of God moved first, but that did not cause creation to happen. Hear me tonight, the Spirit of God is in this room. The Spirit of God is already moving in this house. The Spirit of God is already moving over helpless, hopeless, dark situations. Come on, hear me tonight. The Spirit of God has already manifested itself in this place. But guess what? There has to be something else that is attached to that right there. We need the Spirit of God to move, and then we need a word to be released. Come on, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved, but it wasn't until God said, let there be light, that there was light. It wasn't until God spoke, things began to happen. It wasn't until God spoke, that things began to become into existence, and creation began to
unfold. Not when the Spirit of God moved, but when God spoke a word. And it's the same for us. The Bible tells us in Psalms 33, it says, by the word of the Lord. Somebody say, the word of the Lord. Were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake. It doesn't just say he moved. It says he spake. He spoke. Someone say he spoke. And it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Can I just tell you today that the same Spirit that gave us, that gave power to the Word in creation, now lives inside of us. The same power that spoke the world into existence now lives inside of us. Can I just let somebody know today that living inside of you is life-giving, creative power. I just would that you would just open up your mouth and speak a word that will create life where there is death, that will create light where there is darkness, that my God, that will create something out of nothing. Open up your mouth and let the word of God just begin to flow out of your lips. It's the same Spirit, the same power that created everything that we see, that created the birds and the bees and the cattle and the animals and the creepy crawly things and the fish and all the whales and everything and the sky and the moon and the sun and the stars. The same word that spoke everything into existence is now in you. The same power that looked over the darkness of the world, the void of the world, looked down and spoke and said, let there be light. There's some of you in this room today, you're looking at some dark situations. Maybe it's not you specifically, but maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your school. Maybe it's your job. Whatever it might be, you're looking down and you see some dark, void situations. But I've come today on this Tuesday night to remind somebody that there is a power that is inside of you, and the Spirit of God is in you, but you've got to open up your mouth under the anointing, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and let the Word of God begin to flow, because when you speak the Word, it will begin to enter into dark situations, and the Word of God is a light. And so the Bible says it, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. The Word of God can illuminate every dark situation that you might be facing. It can bring life, my God, unto every dark situation that you might be looking at tonight. You've just got to open up your mouth and speak the Word of God. Matthew 8 and 8 tells us a story of a centurion. Wasn't even a man that followed Christ, but he believed on the power of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew 8, chapter 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, he said, I'm not worthy that you would even come under my roof. But get this right here. This is a man that did not even know Jesus. This was a man that was not even a Jew. This was a man that was not even a follower of Christ. But he said this, but if you would just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. In other words, he said this, you don't have to come into my house. You don't even have to lay hands on him. All you've got to do is open up your mouth and speak the word. Can I just tell you today that the word that comes out of your mouth can travel outside of this sanctuary. It can transcend state lines. It can go into other countries. You've just got to open up your mouth and speak the word. You don't have to be where that person is. You just got to open up your mouth and speak the word, and the Spirit of God will go to where they are at. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. You've got to have faith like the centurion that says, God, all you've got to do is speak the word. Amazing, because the Bible tells us as we continue in the story, Jesus says, He says, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Jerusalem. This was a man that Jews looked at, Gentiles were looked at like dogs. They were looked at by the Jews as someone that was less than them. It was, oh, we're the chosen people of God. Y'all are just second-class citizens. That was really the mindset towards the Gentiles. But Jesus makes a statement here. He says, I haven't even found so much faith amongst those that are supposed to be with me, that are supposed to be the chosen people of God. Would it not be, I pray today, that we never become a church that are supposed to be the chosen people of God, that are supposed to be blood-bought, Holy Ghost filled, but we lack enough faith. I would that it would never come a day where there's people in the world that have more faith in God than we have faith in God. I would it would never be a day where God would look at us and say, oh, ye of little faith, oh, you perverse and faithless generation. I would that there never come a time, not in this church or any church in the apostolic movement, that God would look at and say, oh, why do you lack such faith? Why do you not believe in me? Why do you not believe in my power or my ability? I just feel something in the room today that God is trying to stir up our faith once again, that God is trying to restore somebody's faith in the room that might be down, that might be doubting, that might be fearful, that might feel helpless. God wants to build up our faith in Him again. You might be in this room. You might feel like your situation is helpless. Come on, I've been there before. I was talking to the young people on Sunday night. I've been there before. A question was asked in the room. It says, does God care? And if God really cares, it ministered to me. It broke me when I read it. It caused tears to fall down my eyes. Why? Because I can resonate with that feeling. And this young person said, does God really care? And he said, and if He cares, then why am I going through what I'm going through? If God really cares, why didn't He show up sooner? If God really cares, why would I be dealing with this for years? Can I just talk to somebody in this room right now? I feel right now that there's somebody in this room, even right now, not a young person, but an adult, that is feeling that same way. Does God really care about me? If God really cared, would I be sick the way I'm sick? If God really cared, would my family be lost? If God really cared, would I be struggling in my finances? If God really cared, would I be struggling in my mind? Come on, somebody. I've been there before. Even in this last 12 months, I remember there's been some times, even this preacher right here, where I lifted up my eyes and I spoke out loud. I said, God, do you not care? God, don't you care that I'm going through what I'm going through? This is not right. This is not fair. Don't you care? You want to know what that is? That's the devil lying to you to create fear in your mind, to try to get you to think that God no longer sees you, that God no longer cares whether or not you're sick, whether God cares whether or not you're broke or your family's lost. I've come in this room tonight to speak against every lie of Satan and speak a word of faith in this room and remind you that God cares. God is working. God is moving. God will heal. God will save. God will deliver. He'll restore. He will answer your need. But you've just got to open up your mouth and speak the word of faith. Speak the word of faith. God sees your situation. God sees your troubles. God sees your hardships. God sees your trials. God sees the tears that you cry. God sees your anxieties and your stresses and your depression. God sees the report from the doctor. But I've come to tell you tonight, not only does God see you, but God come, oh my God, God's telling somebody in this room, not only do I see you, but I'm moving. Not only do I see you, but I'm working. Not only do I see ya, but I'm in control. Your life is in the palm of His hand. You are the, my God, you are the clay, and He is the potter. He's just got you on the wheel right now. Don't think that God has left you. Don't think that God has forsaken you. Don't think that God has forgotten about you. He is in control. God is mindful of you. He is mindful of your situation. He is mindful of the tears that you cry at night. He is mindful of the prayers that you pray that nobody else knows about. He is mindful of the thoughts that you think that nobody else hears. He is mindful. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. There's a scripture that says that who am I that He is mindful of me. See, we are just human. We really don't deserve it. But there is a God who is just, who is good, who is merciful, who is gracious, who loves you so much. And He is mindful of what you are facing tonight. He is mindful of the needs that you have. He is mindful of your financial distresses. He is mindful of the anxiety and the depression that you are dealing with. He is mindful of the sicknesses that you that you are facing. He is mindful of your marital problems. He is mindful of your family problems. He is mindful of whatever it is that you are going through. I'm just going to pivot for a second. Can I just tell you today that one of the things that hurts our faith is that we try to question what God is doing. We try to make sense of everything. But can I just tell you right now that it's not our job to make sense of what we are going through. It's not our job to make sense of what God is doing. Our job is just to trust in what God is doing. Can I just speak to somebody that's going through a hardship? Come on, I see some tears flowing down people's faces right now. Can I just tell you that God is doing something perfect and God is doing something well. And if you would just trust in what He's doing and He would just trust in the process and the season that God has you in, He will birth something great in you. He will birth something mighty and powerful in you. What you are going through right now is just making you better. It's making you wiser. It's making you stronger. It's making you more like Him. Come on, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, but also in the fellowship of His suffering. And be like Jesus means that we must go through some things. To be like Jesus means that I've got to go through some hardship and some trials. Oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, I want to be like Him. But that means I've got to go through some hardship in my life. Come on, how can you know that God is a healer if you never had something that He needed to heal you from? Oh my God, come on, somebody. How can you know that God's a provider if you've never needed provision? How can you know that God's a deliverer if you were never needing something that you needed deliverance from? See, I can learn and hear from somebody else, but I want my own testimony. I want my own revelation of the goodness of God and the power of God and the strength of God and the miraculous might of God. See, I can rejoice when God heals somebody else. I can rejoice when God provides for somebody else, but there's nothing better than knowing it for yourself. So guess what? Sometimes we've just got to say, you know what? Let me embrace the heart. Let me embrace the trial because it's teaching me about who God is. And when we get to that place and we get to that mindset, our faith is completely transformed. Because no longer are we trying to make sense of things with our human intellect, which we'll never do. Can I just tell you that I told somebody the other day, I said, bro, you've got to stop trying to make sense of spiritual things with your human mind. You can't make sense. The Bible says that the things of God are foolishness to men. Meaning that God's ways, when God works, He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And one of the things that is detrimental to our faith is when we try to make sense of the things of God with human understanding. Because it will never make sense. And then we begin to question everything. And with those questions comes doubt and fear. And slowly but surely, it is just chipping away, destroying the faith that we had in God. We've got to get to a place where we just say, you know what? I don't understand everything. You're right. But I know God is good. I know that God can do all things exceeding abundantly. Above all I can, ready? Above all I could ask or think. There are not enough words in the human vocabulary to begin to ask what God can do for us, because He exceeds it. There's not enough thoughts in the human mind that can put together a thought good enough, that can compile a thought to match the level of what God can do, because He says that I will exceed it. That when you think you're asking a big thing, God says, you know what? That's small in my eyes. Watch this. Can I just say this? Sometimes we ask down here when God's like, I can do up here. Some of you need a financial blessing. You're asking God to just get you out of debt. God said, I can get you out of debt and then some. I can get you out of debt, but then on top of that, I can make sure I can bless you enough that you can be a blessing to others, that you can help get others out of debt. God can do that. Why? Because when we think we've asked God for a big thing, He said, I can do bigger, I can do more, I can do greater. But we've got to have faith to believe that God is my God, that God is mighty, that God is the God of the impossible. We've got to have faith. If there is to be power behind the words that we speak, there must be faith attached to those words. He said if you would just speak the word, there was faith attached to what He was saying. God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 tells us this. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder and soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jeremiah 23 tells us this. It says that God's word is like a fire. Psalms 107:20 says this, that God sent His word and healed them. God sent His word and healed them. And He delivered them from their destructions. There is power in the word of God. He sent His word. That means that there's got to be something. Ready? There needs to be a vibration in your vocal cords that will create a sound that will then be expelled from your lips, that will go into the atmosphere. You've got to speak a word. You've got to send a word. If you want something to happen in your situation, you must send the word. Not think the word, but speak the word. John 6:63 says this, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, this is Jesus speaking. He says that my words are spirit and they are life. The word of God is powerful. Isaiah 55:11 says this. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So are you picking up what I'm putting down today? There has to be a word that comes from this right here. It is not enough to keep it here or keep it here. It has to come out. It has to be spoken, because there is power when we open up our mouth and begin to speak a word of faith. Begin to speak a prophetic word. Begin to speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Begin to declare the word of God. My God, hear me tonight. We need to speak the word constantly, consistently. Speak the word. I'm getting somewhere. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When God speaks the word, it will be established. When God declares a thing, it will be done. When God determines a thing, it is settled in heaven. See, He said, I will open up my mouth, and when I speak a word, it will not return void, but it will accomplish the thing that I set forth for it to accomplish. When I speak healing, healing will happen. When I speak deliverance, deliverance will happen. When I speak restoration, restoration will happen. When I speak blessings, blessings will happen. Why? Because when God speaks the word, it is established in heaven. I said this on Sunday, but the scripture reminds me, God is not a man that He would lie, nor the son of man that He would repent. God cannot back out on His word. Can I just say this right here? I know we don't think about this sometimes as Christians, but I was taught that it's okay to hold God to what He says. There ain't nothing wrong with He don't need a reminder. Don't get me wrong. He knows already. But it's okay to lift up your eyes and your hands and say, God, I remember when You promised me this. God, I won't forget when You told me that. God, I won't forget how You said that You would heal me. God, I didn't forget how You said You'd save my daughter, how You saved my wife, how You saved my husband. God, I did not forget, and I'm holding You to Your word. I'm holding You to Your promise. Why? Because You're not a man that You would lie. When You work, my God, the word of God is yes and amen. When You speak a word, God, I'm so, yes, God, it's settled. It is settled. He said it's yes and it's amen. God, I did not forget what You spoke to me. God, I did not forget what You promised me. Some of us need to come back to that place of remembrance. When God spoke a word to us, you've forgotten about the promise that God made to you. Well, tonight's the night to remind God that I did not forget about it. I did not forget what You spoke to me one night in my prayer room. I did not forget what You spoke to me at this altar, what You spoke to me at that conference, wherever it was. God, I did not forget. I'm holding You to Your word. I'm holding You to Your promise, God. Got to speak the word, because there is power in this instrument right here. You'll never be healed if all that comes out of this mouth is doubt. You'll never receive your blessing if all that ever comes out of this mouth is fear. Hear me, Apostolic Lighthouse. You'll never inherit the promises of God in your life if you never speak the promises of God. If all that ever comes out of your mouth is fear and doubt and helplessness and hopelessness, you will never inherit what God has prepared for you. But preacher, you don't understand. You don't get how bad the situation is. Well, preacher, you're not in my shoes. You don't know how long I've been praying for. You don't know how long I've been asking and trusting and believing for. You don't get it, preacher. You don't know how long I've been sick. You don't know how bad the report is from the doctor. You don't know how helpless the situation is with my family. How much they hate church and how much they hate. You don't get it. You don't understand. You know what? I don't. I'm not in your shoes, but what I do know is that God understands. And God is just waiting on you to open up your mouth and reverse it. Come on, no more speaking fear. No more speaking doubt. No more speaking hopelessness and helplessness. We need to reverse that in some of our lives tonight and begin to just speak a word of faith. Maybe the doctor did give you a hopeless situation, but guess what? I serve the great physician. He doesn't have an MD from this world. He's got an MD from heaven. He doesn't need a medical degree in this world. He's got a medical degree in heaven. He is the great physician. He is the creator of the body. He created every cell, every tissue, every organ, every tendon, every bone, every muscle. God created it. So what makes you think God can't step in and begin to rearrange some things in your body and come on and make some things whole, some things that are broken, some things that are sick, some things that are diseased. What makes you think that God can't heal you of cancer, of diabetes, whatever it is? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask that again. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I do not care how bad the situation is. There is no thing too big. There is no sin too great. There is no situation that is too large. There is no mountain that is too tall. There is no valley that is too deep. There is no giant that is too big. There is no sickness that is so, my God, hear me, that is so bad that God can't step in and touch it, change it, move it, situate it, heal it, deliver it, destroy it. There is nothing that God cannot do, but you've got to have faith to believe it. I want us to stand right now. I'm done. It's time to pray in just a moment here. You might be tired. I know this is a long week, but it's a good week. I spoke to us yesterday about this. The greatest breakthroughs that we have sometimes is when we have to push the greatest through our flesh, through our tiredness, through our weariness. And that's what I'm feeling right now. We're tired. That's all right. I'm tired too. My voice is slowly giving out. I've got 4 more messages to preach this week. When I leave here, I've got 3 more just this week. I'm tired. I understand that. I've been there. But that's no excuse for us to tap into what God wants to do in this room right now. I pray this all the time. I prayed it this evening before service. I pray it all the time. Lord, remove all weariness. Remove all distractions. Remove anything that would hinder me. Because like I said yesterday, sister, I want a move of God. And sometimes the thing that gets in the way of the move of God is simply that we are just tired. But we embrace the tiredness. And guess what the reality is? God forbid, but the reality is we're human. We'll probably be more tired tomorrow. But we're going to push past it. Because God wants to do something in here tonight. Yes, this wasn't no shout down. We weren't running and jumping like we were last night. That's okay, because what I love about God is God moves in so many various different ways. And how God's going to move tonight is not going to look like how God moved yesterday. But I'm reminded of a scripture in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. It's a very familiar verse of scripture. The Bible says that Ezekiel was taken into a vision. The Lord took him into this place, the valley of dry bones. It was a helpless situation. How many of us got some situations that, I'm not going to say they are helpless, they seem helpless. I'm not going to speak doubt and say they're helpless. They seem helpless. How many of you got some things you've been praying for a while and it still hasn't happened? That's your valley of dry bones. And God asked Ezekiel a question to provoke his faith. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? God didn't need the answer. Whenever y'all are ready, you could back me up with some music. God did not need the answer. God knows everything. He asked it to provoke Ezekiel's thinking. And to provoke Ezekiel's faith. He said, can these bones live? And God's asking that question to some of us tonight. Do you believe that your situation can live again? Do you believe that God can heal, that God can deliver, that God can save, that God can restore? Do you believe that God can do anything for you? But this is the part I want to focus on for just a second. Ties into what I'm talking about today. The power of a word. God tells him, he gives him clear instruction. This is what he says to Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to prophesy over these dry bones. And he tells him exactly what to say. He says, thus saith the Lord. He says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he goes on. And he gives them a direct word to speak. He says, I want you to prophesy to these dry bones. The only way that that situation that was dead would come to life is if Ezekiel opened up his mouth and spoke the word of God. But here is what I'm talking about today, and this is where I want us to be right now. If you have a need, I want you to come. If you have a situation that seems helpless, I want you to come. If you're sick in your body, I want you to come. If you've got lost family members that you've been praying for, I want you to come. If you're dealing with depression or anxiety, I want you to come. If you have a financial need, I want you to come. If you just have something that you need from God tonight, I want you to come. I don't want you to be timid. I want you to step in faith, step in confidence right now that God is going to do something in this room. I want you to hear me for 1 second. I'm going to give us clear instruction, and I'm going to step off for the rest of this night. There is a time, Brother Dyke, I believe when there is a time where we ask God for things. There is a time to make petitions, supplications before God. But there is then also a time where we don't ask God, but we just declare a word from God. Let me bring that so that makes more sense to you. There is a time to ask God for something, and then there is just a time to declare it. That, ready? The Bible says that God calls things that are not as though they are. That's declaring. There is a power that lives in us that we can call things that are not as though they are. In other words, we can prophesy into situations. And that's what I felt in the Holy Ghost that God wants us to do tonight. If you are sick in your body, I don't want you to lift your hands and say, God, can you please heal me? I want you to speak and say, by the authority of the Word of God, I am healed. Because the Bible already tells me that by His stripes you are healed. So that is declaring the Word of God. You don't have to ask God for healing. You just need to open up your mouth and say, God, by your stripes, I am healed. You don't have to ask God, God, will you please save my family? Because the Bible says that He came to seek and to save those that were lost. So you just need to open up your mouth and say, I might not see it, but my family's healed. My family's going to be saved. My wife's going to be saved. My children are going to be saved. Prophesy the word of God. Call situations that are not as though they are. I would that we lift our hands right now. I said this at a church I preached at a couple weeks ago. You don't need to be a prophet to prophesy. You just need to open up your mouth and be led by the Spirit of God and begin to just speak a word. And there is going to be faith and there's going to be power that is attached to that. I don't care what the situation is. Declare healing. Declare deliverance. Declare freedom. Declare salvation. Declare blessings. Declare restoration by the authority of the Word of God. Come on, I want you to push past your tiredness. Come on, open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and just begin to speak the word of faith. God, I am healed. God, I am delivered. God, I am set free. God, I will be saved. God, my family will be saved. God. Come on, Apostolic Lighthouse. Open up your mouth and just speak the word of faith. Declare. Don't ask. Declare. Declare. Declare the word of God. Come on, we're going to sing this song right now. We sang it earlier. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're going to speak Jesus right now. We're going to speak Jesus in our homes. Jesus in our families. Jesus over depression. Jesus over anxiety. Jesus over sickness. Jesus over darkness. Jesus in our city. Jesus in our church. Jesus for our children. Jesus for our marriage. Come on, there is power in the spoken word. Declare the word of God. Speak the name of Jesus.
Out Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the stream. Jesus in the darkness. Over.
Come on, every hand lifted. Every hand lifted.
Jesus for my family.
Come on, speak Jesus. Declare the word of the Lord. Come on, I speak Jesus for my family. Shout it. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. There's power in the name.